Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We've actually got a caller on the line who I would like to hear from. Good morning, who am I speaking to?
Hi Kathy, I'd actually prefer to stay anonymous in this whole process. You know, and I think that in itself, if I get into my situation, I believe to be a core of the problem that being a company that has our products certified kosher, I don't actually feel comfortable to give my identity because I am worried as to what may happen to me from the Beth Din, from our Heksha, that even though, as I say, we are certified 100% kosher, I am in fear as to what the recourse for phoning in will be, but it is something that I feel very passionate about.
Okay, so what's your feeling? You obviously heard the interview previously. Have you received any price increases?
We've been around for many years, but we're new to the kosher market. And what happened was I saw Honeyfield's statement on Facebook and I thought, shame, you know, that's terrible. And we are obviously only got certified this year, so we never got the luxury of getting into the kosher market at the affordable rate. Our initial fee that we were quoted was over 40,000 rand in order to get our range certified, and then 125 rand per product. And we applied during lockdown. It took us over 3.5 months because we have to attain our own kosher certificates for every single one of our multiple suppliers from all around the world. So with lockdown, with COVID, we had to wait for their factories to open, their admin to open. And it took us over, basically it was between 3 to 4 months to get our product certified.
Okay.
And when I saw the Beth Din's response, it hit a nerve and it made me really upset that they blatantly said that their pricing is so expensive because they have the food technologists on there come in and check your ingredients. And that is not true. You know, unless someone else had a different experience than I did, but if they said to me, we are going to charge you 45,000 rand, and you hand in all your ingredients and we give them to our food technologists and they will check the process. They will validate it. Maybe we would have weighed up the pros and cons and said, well, we can't trade for 3 months because we supply the restaurant and hospitality trade. And maybe we would have said, you know what? For 3 months worth of business, we'll pay the 45, but that's not the case. We had to do all of our legwork, all of our paperwork, send through the certificates. Once the certificate was there, we had all the work. It took over a month for them to look at our file, the rabbi to come in to sign off, the first inspection, which we needed to clean one or two things, the second inspection. There was no sense of urgency. In order to get it, I phoned through and I explained to Beth then that our income as a company has basically gone to zero. The industry that we're in, we supply restaurants and hospitality with certain goods, and they are obviously all closed. So we decided to take our best-selling line to retail. He explained to me the fees. I explained to Rabbi that it's not even like I'm negotiating with you because I want to keep our profits up. We literally cannot afford that fee. So after quite a long, stringent negotiation between multiple rabbis, they agreed to give us a 50% discount on the admin and the inspection fee, which still worked out that we're paying at a 50% discount that we were very graciously given. We're paying about 22,000 rand, which is over 3 times the halal full price rate.
Are you also halal certified?
We're in the process.
Okay.
You know, for me being Jewish, it was an easier market to launch in, but it's certainly not more economical to launch in. You know, the buying power over halal and kosher, you can't even compare. But what I couldn't understand is that being Jewish, wanting to keep kosher, running a kosher home, constantly complaining about the price of kosher food, I look at it and I think that as a business, we're in major cash structures to try to get into the kosher market. So the only thing that makes financial sense for us is to just pass the price on to the consumer. And, you know, 1 rand per product that we add on to try and justify the Beth Din fees doesn't equal to 1 rand to the consumer's pocket. Just so the average person understands how the food market works is that the producer makes a price. It's normally sold onto an agent who sells to a store. The person that distributes it makes a price. The store adds on. So it may be that 1 rand added on by the producer could equal to 5 rand plus that the consumer has to pay more.
Right.
It's not fair to your
compounded
consumer.
Right.
It's completely compounded. It's not like you buy from me directly and I add on 50 cents or you pay 50 cents more. The fees are just getting absolutely exorbitant, and it's not fair. You know, thank God I'm able to run a kosher home and be able to afford it. But I was saying to my husband, I said, you know what, I'm buying relatively the same things since lockdown to now. And I just feel like I'm paying so much more. And it's not fair that it should be a luxury that only the wealthy are able to afford to be kosher here. And that's why, you know, I would just love to understand, how can the Beth Din possibly justify their price versus halal? And the level of service that I received, for me, when I emailed the Beth Din, I spoke to the rabbis at the beginning, which they were very kind, very helpful. I got good service. I was then passed on to the multiple admin ladies in the office, and it was a nightmare after nightmare after nightmare. I had multiple people CC'd on every email, didn't know what was going on, and just the admin process, that I'm assuming the fees are so high because employing so many people, does not work for the consumer. I sent through my halal application, and I just got extremely busy, and I was trying to really push the kosher market. 2 days later, I received an email from them saying to me, "Hi, ma'am, I see we haven't heard back from you. Is there anything we can assist you with?"
Wow.
It's like I couldn't believe the difference in service, you know, especially when I compare the difference in fees, the difference in potential market. And we actually changed our strategy. We said we're going to launch to retail because we're desperate to start generating income. And from next year, when our contract expires, we're not going to service the kosher community anymore. Because for such a small community, why do we need to pay such a large chunk? Why do we need the headache of it all?
So it does sound like a headache.
It's a launch to market,
yeah,
and then we'll probably be out.
So what I'm hearing from you is that, one, is that it's directly related to the amount of value that you, yeah, as a kosher supplier or manufacturer is getting from the kashrut department of the UOS. I think that's also an important distinction to make.
Yeah.
Is that it's not the Beth Din, it's not the ecclesiastical court, it is the kashrut department of the Union of Orthodox Synagogues that issues,
yeah,
the heksha.
And you know, something, yeah, else that I saw as well that really upset me was they said to me, no, with these fees, I get support. They're going to introduce me to places. They'll post on their Facebook account. They've got a massive following. We were kosher. We certified. We paid the best that we can. We did receive payment terms, so we are paying it off over a month. I mean, when I heard George can pay off his $20,000 over 3 years, Philbert Hadamba, we were quoted like $45,000 over one for a new startup. His business income went to zero, but I guess I'll have to negotiate that separately. But then I see our larger competitors who are extremely established in the market, have massive balance sheets, the Beth Din are posting about them on their Facebook.
That's interesting.
And I sort of wanted to phone them and say, come on, guys. You know, we're a small startup company. We're really trying to get in. Yet you're giving these massive companies who have hundreds of thousands of rands marketing budgets, free or paid, I don't know, exposure on your page. Why should I have to fight for the exposure you promised me? It's not fair. It's really not fair that we get bullied into having to deal with this, and there's nothing that we can do about it.
So, Anon,
it's not fair.
There actually is something that you can do about it. But so here's my question. Would you look at a different heksha? Would you look at, like, for example,
yeah,
the OU heksha that comes out of the United, the Orthodox Union in the UK? Or,
yeah,
George was saying that he's going with Canada.
So on the UK one, we actually have a non-Jewish, one of our suppliers that gives us a product.
Yeah.
And when we phoned him to get his heksha to apply for our heksha, he said to me, what are you doing working with the South Africa Beth, with the Joburg Beth Din? He said that he has, because he's, with the products that he carries, he's got over 100 flavors. And with the Beth Din, you pay your annual fee and then you get charged 125 rand per flavor on top of that. And he said to me that you're crazy. Why would you use them? He's gone, this is a non-Jewish guy. He said that he's gone to the London Beth Din. He's certified under them. He pays 10,000 rand. They fly from London twice a year to do a random inspection. And regardless of how many products you have, you pay one fee, which works out about 10,000 rand with the exchange rate and flight in from London. He said, all you're doing is you're paying for the rabbi's fancy airfare and retirement packages. And to hear that from a non-Jewish man really left a bitter taste in my mouth. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Like, for me, I'm Jewish, proudly Jewish, run a kosher home, want to be kosher, and I felt like I couldn't even argue it with him. It's not right.
That's not right. And you know what? We are going to give the Kashrut Department of the U.S. Right of reply. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your call. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. And, thank you. I really hope that something comes of this and it's not just forgotten about, like the kosher chicken saga, because still we don't understand what actually happened there. And things come and it's a major hoo-ha and then it's just forgotten about. And it's really not okay.
All right. Well, that's where we leave it. Thank you very, very much.
Okay. And, thanks a lot.
Yeah, just wish you all the best with your hecha.
Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you.
Take
thank
care.
You.
Bye-bye. That's anonymous. What's your thought? Gosh, and it starts coming. You know, a lot of companies, as I said, I mean, she wouldn't mention the name of her company because she's worried about, you know, what that means for her and could she leave, could she lose her kosher license?
That's also concerning.
That's very concerning because the one thing has nothing to do with the other. Just because you complain about something or you want, I don't know, whatever it is that you want, should not put your kosher status in question at all. And that includes whether or not you have paid the fees. Something else that really is hitting home, and she brought it up. She said, you know, 1 rand that we increased in order to cover these exorbitant fees per product is that it then compounds because every single person along the chain until it gets to the yous and me's is adding their cut. So it becomes compound. It works the same way with compound interest, which is a very positive thing. But it's just mind-blowing. It's just mind-blowing. And people are talking about how expensive it is to be kosher. Well, here's the reason why. Here's the reason why. I think that we do need to get to the bottom of it, finally, and once and for all.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.